So good morning, beloved ones. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. And this just came to me while we were meditating. Do you know why a tree that's planted by the water is so powerful? Because that tree then has its ability to draw its sustenance right there from the water, which means it has the ability to grow deep roots and strong roots because it's right by the water, right by its source of life. That's a powerful image. It's a powerful scripture, and we'll be using it for these next few years. I'm like a tree that's planted. And a tree, when I think about it, it bends, you know. When stuff comes, the tree can just move and bend through all the stuff. It's good. It's good. So once again, I do want to thank our First Seed leadership team for being willing to step up and to plant their seeds of faith and their founding resources for our capital campaign and our blessing tree. I'm very grateful and thankful. But you know, my biggest thanks or offering of deep gratitude is to all of you. All of you who, you know, have been the seeds that enabled us to be sustained while we're here, to sustain, you are sustaining us. All of you who have loved us and you've supported us low these many years, and you're making it possible for us to be here today. I'm grateful and thankful for each of you. Because as we continue to grow into our next 100 years, you know, we're praying that you too will continue to be our roots, that you'll continue to be our trunk and, you know, our branches and our leaves that all go for the life of this ministry, the tree of life. And, you know, my prayer is that we all will become the seeds who will generate blessings for years to come. That's my vision. But, you know, it all begins with seeds that we are sowing right now in consciousness. Now, I love the metaphor of the seed, a seed. It's a powerful metaphor because there is so much power in a seed, so much potential that lies within a seed. Somebody say power and potential. Say it like you mean it. All right. Did you feel the different vibration? There's so much power and potential in a seed. Potential that when planted properly and nurtured lovingly, that seed will grow and produce infinitely. Because within a seed lies other seeds. Think about this metaphor. Within a seed lies other seeds which can produce what? More seeds. And within those seeds lie what? Other seeds that can produce more seeds and trees and plants and simply life itself. And the extended life of a single seed can go on infinitely. Think about that. The extended life of one seed can go on infinitely. And that's what makes it so powerful. That's what makes it so powerful. And Jesus understood that, of course. And he probably thought the same thing because he uses the symbol of a seed to teaches in parables about seeds, and he uses the seed to reveal the secrets and the workings of the kingdom of heaven consciousness. Those two things. He uses the seed, the metaphor of a seed, as a symbol, right, to talk about, to teach as a parable, but also to talk about the kingdom of heaven consciousness. So I want to read some scripture here. And once again, the scripture is a little long, but sometimes I just think it's good for us to hear it, so I choose to do that. But it's Matthew 13, verses 1 through 32. And in this verse, it covers the parable of the sower. We've heard that one. It covers the parable of the weeds. We know that one. And it covers the parable of the mustard seed. And so I'm going to read from the New International Version, and then I'll also read from a little bit from the Message. Okay? So it says here, that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, and when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, you will ever be hearing, but never understanding. You will ever see, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have their eyes closed. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and then turn to me, and I would be able to heal them. But blessed are you in your eyes, for they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, prophets and righteous people long to see what you have seen, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall and fade away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. It is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away.
When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Then it says, the weeds also appeared. Then the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Well, do you want us to go and pull them up?" He said, "No. While you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. So let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in a bundle to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn.'" He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." And I love the way the Message puts it. After all of that, he goes on and he talks about, I'm just going to read the last part when he talks about mustard seed. No, I'll read this other part. "The disciples came and asked him, 'Why do you always tell in parables?'" So it says here, the disciples came up and asked, "Why do you tell stories?" And he replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift, this insight. It hasn't been given to them. Whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there's no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. That's why I tell stories. It creates readiness to nudge the people toward receptive insight. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it. They can listen until they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. But you have God-blessed eyes, eyes that see, and God-blessed ears, ears that hear. A lot of people, prophets and humble believers among them, would have given anything to see what you are seeing and to hear what you are hearing, but never had the chance. Study this story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears the news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. So the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. This is the seed that the farmer scatters on the road. The seed cast in the gravel. This is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there's no soil of character. And so when emotions wear off and some difficulty arises, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the good news and then produces a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. And so, you know, Jesus does a great part, a job at interpreting the parable that he taught. And so I'm not going to go into too much further interpretation, but I want to focus on his response to his disciples' question to him about why does he speak in parables all the time. And we heard him say, you know, because you're going to get it, but they don't get it. And he says this quote to them when they ask him, why does he speak in parables? And he says, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them.
This is why I speak in parables. So here it is. This is the knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven. He tells it very plainly. He says, whoever has, more will be given, and they'll have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even that which they have will be taken away. So there you have it. You got it? Okay, well, let's take a little deeper, maybe. Let's go a little deeper. So the kingdom of heaven, there are two ways, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and sometimes Jesus uses them interchangeably, and that's okay. There's a little distinct difference, but the kingdom of God, we say that metaphysically represents the realm of divine ideas. And the kingdom of that where divine ideas, this is metaphysics now, where the divine ideas originate in the kingdom of God. God is the author of divine ideas. And in the kingdom of heaven is where the kingdom of heaven contains these exalted ideas, these divine ideas. Now we say in truth or in unity or in new thought that God does not give us things. That's right? You have to understand, God does not give us things. He gives us ideas. We take the ideas and produce the things, you know. So when you're praying for God to give you a car or a house, God's not going to just plop down a new Tesla in front of your, you know, your garage. He's going to give you the divine ideas to how to go about getting that Tesla, right? So we're clear. He doesn't give us things because, listen, the only thing that is really lasting is an idea. Is a divine idea, because once the thing is produced from that idea, that thing in the manifest form is temporal. Just like this, right? It's temporal. Anything that is manifested at some point is going to go away. It's going to degrade. It's going to either be destroyed or whatever. It's temporal. It's not lasting. The only thing that really is lasting is an idea, a divine idea. Because that's what's everlasting. No idea can ever be destroyed. And that's where the power lies. It lies within a divine idea. And that's our inheritance. That's what God gives us. We inherit divine ideas. Not just any old idea, but divine ideas. And this whole thing, when a divine idea comes, you know, like seeds, they contain infinite possibilities. A divine idea has infinite possibilities within it. Within a single idea, there's an infinite possibility. For example, and I like to use this example of an idea of a chair. And those of you who've taken the new members class with me know this example already. But let's take the idea of a chair, right? And if I were to tell you to close your eyes for just a second, close your eyes maybe, and I want you to image a chair. Everybody got one? All right, you can open your eyes. Now, what will happen is that there are as many different images of a chair as there are people sitting in this sanctuary right now, right? Each of you came up with your own idea, and I guarantee you there probably were not two chairs that are alike. There'll be something that's different among them. And yet, the idea of chair is known and understood by you all, correct? When I said image of chair, did you know what a chair was? And you could create one in your mind, did you not? Yes, but yet it's completely different from one another. So even if the idea of a chair is known, all the different types of chair can be fashioned from that idea is infinite. If I were to ask a billion people to image a chair, I'd have a billion different images of a chair. This is the power. That's the power of an idea or a divine idea, because it's infinite in its expression. It's like a seed. One single idea generates many, many, many. The idea of chair produces many, many, many ideas. So Jesus is telling us very clearly that the secret, he says, to the kingdom of heaven lies in understanding how to gain and understand and work with divine ideas, the divine ideas within it, the seeds within. He says it's like a parable of the sower. He's telling you what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's telling you how it works. It works like a seed that's planted and it produces, right? So what he's saying then is that if we're able to work with it, work with these divine ideas in the kingdom of heaven consciousness, that more will be given to us and we'll have an abundance. Now, what's interesting is the part where he says that whoever does not have, right, even that which he has will be what? Taken away from them. So think about this. If you have something that has manifested, yet you don't have a clue as to the divine idea that is in back of it, then when that thing that you have manifested is gone, or destroyed, or fades away, or whatever, you have no idea how to replicate it or to generate a new one, then that which you have will be taken away. Because you don't know how to get it back. It's gone. So even that one little thing that you manifested, when it's gone, it's gone. It's taken away. But those who have the ability and the understanding how to touch that divine idea that lies in back of the thing can reproduce it. You can bring it again into your consciousness. So do you get that point? So I'm asking then what do you have in your consciousness? Do you have the consciousness for your desires? Do you truly understand how to be blessed and prosperous? Most of us want to be blessed and we want to be prospered, right? We want lots of things. But Jesus said in another script, you got to seek ye first what? The kingdom of heaven consciousness, and the things are going to come. You got to get to the divine idea first. The thing will come, it will automatically follow. But if you go for the thing without the consciousness of the divine idea, when this thing goes, you don't have anything. You know, so he's saying this is the secret. I'm telling you the secret of how to work with the kingdom of heaven consciousness and these divine ideas. So this is really very important for all of us, because we have to really know that within divine ideas is the seeds of spirit. And if they're planted in our consciousness, they will yield us a harvest of plenty or abundance, as Jesus stated. So this is what we're working with. Get to the divine idea of something. If you want abundance, forget the thing. Meditate on abundance. That's a divine idea. Out of the idea of abundance, it can show up in an infinite number of ways. See, we get all hung up. I want it to show up in here and here. I want it to be a house on such and such a street. Because that's too limited. Get to the idea behind the things. The things will, because maybe it's going to be a different house. Stop going for the things. Stop going for the manifest and go for that which is eternal, the idea of it. That's the secret, he says, to the kingdom of heaven consciousness. How to grow, how to be blessed, how to be prospered, how to work with spirit in a divine and spiritual and metaphysical way. Now, once you begin to build this consciousness of abundance and prosperity, you have to be ready for it. Okay? Sometimes we work on getting the thing and you're not even ready to have it. You're not even ready to maintain it. Okay, it comes and it goes, because you didn't have what? Roots. You weren't rooted in the consciousness. You were like that seed you had fell on some of either the path or the rocky road or whatever. It didn't go in good soil. You didn't establish it. You didn't own it. Whatever we say here on Sundays, we need to start owning this stuff so it's deeply rooted in your consciousness, so it begins to grow and unfold. You know, not just so you hear something and you get excited about it, and 2 minutes later it's gone. That's the way it happens, you know. So we're about being rooted in consciousness. So you got to be ready for it, because the message said, look, I'm telling the people, there has to be a readiness in the heart to receive this consciousness. See, we want the things, but there's not a readiness for the consciousness. And everything you have, you're going to have by right of consciousness. So there has to be a readiness. So the questions that we have to ask is, are you ready for your miracles that you want? Are you really ready for the answers to your prayers? Are you ready for the manifestation of these divine ideas? Are you ready for the manifestation of the consciousness you say you have and you want? You've got to be ready to understand the workings of the kingdom of heaven consciousness. Because he said very clearly, everybody doesn't get it. And this I find to be so true. everybody doesn't get it. They don't recognize the power of divine ideas. They don't even recognize the power of their own thoughts. They think we're just doing some Pollyanna stuff here, some little voodoo hoodoo magic. They don't understand that we're working with spiritual laws. They don't get it. And that's okay, because they'll be among those who are the have-nots. That's fine. But, you know, he says everybody doesn't get it because they don't recognize it. They don't recognize how holding a thought in consciousness, a divine idea, actually produces your good. Holding it in consciousness, that idea that is planted in your consciousness, eventually under spiritual law will begin to produce itself in the manifested realm. We call it the law of mind in actions. Thoughts held in what? Mind do what? Produce after their kind. Everybody says, what? No, I don't believe that. That's fine. Jesus is telling you how the kingdom of heaven works. It works like a seed that has to be planted in some good soil in order to produce the abundance that you seek. He's telling you how it works. The kingdom of heaven is consciousness, right? It's divine ideas, because that's what God creates. That's what God gives us. And Jesus says, you who know, and he's talking to you because you all know the truth. You know this. He says, you who know have to be ready. You got to be ready for your blessings. You have to be ready for your good. You have to be ready to work these spiritual laws and principles. So are you ready?
Yes.
So let me hear you say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to work it.
I'm
ready for my miracles.
I'm
ready for my blessings.
I'm
planting seeds in my consciousness. Now, what kind of seeds are you planting? Are you planting seeds of plenty or seeds of lack? Because this is what we have. You can plant the seeds, but now you need to be conscious of what kind of seeds you're planting, right? Because if you're planting seeds of plenty and lack, which we do often at the same time, that's like planting apple seeds but expecting to get oranges. When we plant, you know, seeds of plenty and lack, you get a mixture of nothing, probably, right? We got to ask, are you planting seeds of faith and fear at the same time? Because we do that too. Oh, I'm being faithful and there's nothing but fear coming out. You can't plant seeds of faith and fear and expect to get a produce that's going to actually serve you. Do you plant things? Are you excited about, you know, an idea, but you don't follow through on it? Right? We get so excited because God gives this wonderful divine. I've had many and they just pass through. I don't really do anything with them. That's my own fault. I didn't take the time to plant them and to root them and to work with them. They were just great ideas. And somebody else picks them up and I'm like, hey, that was my idea. I had that idea, but I didn't plant it. I didn't nurture it. I didn't do anything with it. Or maybe I have a seed that I'm planting, but then, you know, challenges come. Or obstacles pop up, and the next thing you know, you abandon your idea. It was such a good idea, but it's too hard to do. It's too much work. So what? We fade away. Because again, we don't establish roots. So the seeds that we are planting are ours. Now, here's another trap that we fall into, because sometimes we think that we have to plant a grandiose idea. That the way in which we're going to be planted is we come up with what? A big idea. Right? Have you ever thought, I need a big idea. If I can come up with a big idea, man, I'll be set for life. You know, like, oh, man, I got to be like Mark Zuckerberg. If I could just get an idea like Facebook or if I could get one like, you know, Microsoft, I need a big idea. And so we're looking and searching for big ideas. It ain't all about the big idea. He said that the kingdom of heaven is also like what? A mustard seed. It could be a very small idea. But the idea is that you must what? You must plant it. Even that small idea has the ability, when it is nurtured, when it is loved, when it is watered, when there's attention and focus, that little idea can grow into something big. So the point is, don't worry about whether you grab the big idea or a small idea. Take an idea that comes to you and plant it deep in your consciousness and begin to work with it. You don't have to have a million dollar idea. You need one idea. Because the idea will carry within itself whatever it needs to fulfill itself. And sometimes, here's the thing, you cannot see all the potential of a seed. You can't see what's within that idea that goes. Now, sometimes our goal setting people say, well, you got to be able to take the goal and you pan it over here. That's wonderful. But life doesn't always work that way. And so sometimes because we can't see the end result, we don't start to plant the seed. Plant a seed. Work with it. Don't worry about whether you can see how it's going to unfold totally. God is in the growing business. See? God understands what that seed contains. Things that you can't even imagine and you can't even think of and see, because there's a power in a seed that you can't see. But it must be planted and it must be nurtured in order for it to develop. The development of it is God. He will give you the unfolding of that seed in due season, in due time. You do your bit. Make sure that your soil is prepared. Make sure that you're loving that idea, that you're working with it. So what seeds have you planted in your consciousness? You can tell by the fruit of your life. We're planting some seeds for the next 100 years for unity. And I hope you'll be a part of that legacy. Because I'm visualizing these seeds growing into a mighty blessing for people and for years to come. But here's what I want you to know. As you sow, whether you're sowing into this ministry, when you do so, you're also sowing into your own life, because you're sowing in a consciousness of abundance, and you're sowing with, you know, a consciousness of prosperity. You're sowing something, because the law says when you give, you must receive. When you sow, you shall reap. So this process is not just for this ministry, but it also blesses you, because you're strengthening and sharpening your consciousness. So I say, whatever you do, sow in faith. And when you do so, the blessings will unfold in infinite ways, because that's the power of a seed. So may your life, you know, be blessed and be bountiful. And don't forget to do some weeding along the way when the time comes. But that's another talk. Namaste and blessings. And blessings. And blessings. Blessings.